Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Five candidates are running for the Lemon Grove City Council, and today we're very pleased to have two of them on our show, Jessica Heredia and Allison Snow. And Elijah McKee will be interviewing them both. He's our reporter that's been covering the Lemon Grove issues for the past few months. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Elijah McKee with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Five candidates are running for two seats on the Lemon Grove City Council this year. Councilmember Jennifer Mendoza is running for re-election, and there is also an open seat due to the retirement of longtime Councilman Jerry Jones. Here at East County Magazine, we're interviewing all five candidates to learn more about them. Today, our special guest is Allison Snow, a longtime lawyer for consumer justice and housing rights.
So, this is exciting. Campaign season is upon us. I don't think we've seen each other since the Citrus Fest when we first met, but I would love a quick refresher on your background, how you're kind of coming into this race, what led you to want to run, and any background you want to share.
Okay. So, I had been running the Consumer Protection Division at the Legal Aid Society of San Diego for about 13 years, and we represented people who were low income, but who were struggling with issues with businesses. So everything from reverse mortgages, student loans, auto fraud, repossessions, all kinds of issues. And when I was doing that, we did a lot of good work. We opened up Bankruptcy Self-Help Center and got that fully funded, and it's been running and operational since 2016. I got two debt defense clinics that were running out of the law libraries, and those have been funded and running since 2011. And that freed us up to be able to do impact litigation. But while we were doing the litigation, a lot of times lawyers have to work within the boxes they're given, and I needed better boxes. And so we started doing some policy advocacy. So because I was working for a 501c3, I had to do it on my own, but it was exciting and important to me. So we were doing that. And we had great legislators that we were working with, but it became increasingly difficult when we're trying to think of a bill to run, which legislators would have the same passion and push the legislation the same way we would in order to get things accomplished. And so after a while, I was like, well, it's time to run and stuff. And I can be that legislator. My heart and soul is in Lemon Grove. I've raised five kids in this community. I feel deeply we picked Lemon Grove because it is family-centered. Most of the activities are at the Lemon Grove Little League field or on the soccer fields. It's a great place for kids to grow up. There's room that, like, my kids can run around and play. We have great neighbors, and there's a 3.5 square mile area. So it was a great place. And so I thought I could do a lot in city council, bring these skills in policymaking and understanding rules and laws and ordinances, and bring that to help the community grow and become stronger. So that's kind of what led me here. Mm-hmm. And then going forward, one of my passions has been housing rights. So earlier, I took a job this year running the Housing Rights Project at the University of San Diego. It's a brand new program, a legal clinic that they're starting here. And they asked me to come over and run it because I'd had prior experience opening clinics and running them. But it's given me a fantastic opportunity to work directly with people who are dealing with housing issues, affordable housing, evictions, foreclosures, predatory lending schemes, and really make sure that we help the house stay housed and help the unsheltered find housing. And so those are a priority while I'm coming into office.
I love hearing that progression sort of how if you can't be the legislator you're hoping to work with, then become that legislator. Or if you can't, if you're not working with them, then just become them. How long did you say how long you've lived in Lemon Grove? You raised five kids there and how about?
Yeah, we moved to Lemon Grove in 2010. So we've been there just over 12 years. Yeah.
So with that experience that you're mentioning more recently with the housing project and before that with consumer protection, how specifically will that translate into a public office position for you in terms of like those skills that you could transfer over? I think you touched on it, but I'm curious.
Yeah, for example, there's lots that cities can do to help make sure that, especially in this time of a housing crisis, that we can keep people in their homes. So right now in San Diego, they have something called a Just Cause moratorium. So it's additional protections beyond what the state's given that require landlords to have a good reason to kick you out of your house and not just any whim. And so right now, the city of San Diego has those protections, but we don't have it in Lemon Grove. They don't have it in Imperial Beach. Like those cities are still trying to catch up to get protections in place for their constituents. Mm-hmm. I can get that done. Like I know about which programs are available. I can see what's worked and I can help the city implement those types of programs to make sure that our tenants who've been living in the house for 30 years or 15 years, paid their rent on time all the time. Just one day, a change of ownership and they're out in the streets. Yeah. And so we can do things to help that from happening. I also have a lot of relationships with different housing organizations. I participate in the San Diego Housing Collaborative, mm-hmm. and we bring together all different kinds of community organizations, nonprofit legal services, the county, ACE, tenants union organizations, and we bring all those people together and we talk and we figure out what we can do to work together to help improve. And we share resources. There's a lot of resources out there, but you got to find them. Yeah. And so making sure that the city knows about them, the city's connecting people to those resources, is something that I can do while I'm on the city council as well.
Totally. I think I've heard of the Just Cause legislation. That's some really important legislation for sure. That it should be everywhere, but it's like these little pockets that you Okay, so if housing justice is like number one, what's number two and three for you if you were in office right now? Like what's number two and three on your desk?
Number two is the streets. So you can drive down almost any street in Lemon Grove and see that we have a lot of deferred maintenance that needs to be addressed. So getting rid of those potholes, getting the streets safer. Also sidewalks are super important, especially for the safety for our kids. And also it promotes the walkability of the town, the health of the town, and encourages people to use the trolley because it's safer to get to and from the trolley without having to drive a car there. Counterproductive to the goal I'm using right now. And then the other issue is lighting. The streets are really dark. I'm out there knocking doors and I'm seeing firsthand how dark and spooky some of these streets are if we don't have enough street lighting. Yeah. And so I would just want to make it so our town is a safe place to be. A town is a place where our kids can get to and from school without getting hit by a car, and that it's someplace that neighbors can meet as they're walking their dogs. With the third goal, which is you got to have money to be able to pay for that. And the way a city gets money is through sales tax revenues. That's the largest source. And so what I want to do is really help businesses to flourish. One, by attracting new businesses, the kind of businesses that do bring in good sales tax revenue, businesses that we need for a safe, happy, healthy community. I would love to have an urgent care clinic right in our neighborhood so that we didn't have to drive all the way out to Grossmont or Fletcher Parkway or down to Chula Vista to be able to get to an urgent care clinic. Bringing that kind of attractive business in will help. And then also helping with the permitting process, seeing what we can do, reevaluating the laws and the ordinances the way they're written, making sure that it's business friendly and that we're not discouraging businesses by putting in too many requirements and stuff. I want them to be a productive part of the community. I want them to contribute. But at the same time, I don't want to put in requirements that are cost prohibitive to opening their doors. We have a lot of vacant units on Main Street downtown where everybody wants to go, but there's so many dark windows, and it doesn't attract business. And then the other thing, in order to help the businesses, is all the ones on Broadway. I went door to door to every single business, and I asked them what their primary concern was. And without fail, it was homelessness. Mm. And so that goes hand in hand with my first priority, is that we have to help people connect to resources and get the unsheltered sheltered. We've got to figure out ways to address that. And so coming up with ideas and things that have worked in the past in other cities and bringing those best practices to Lemon Grove would be a priority. For example, Dreams for Change is a great program that creates a safe parking place where people can park and have access to amenities like bathrooms and garbage and sewer line services and water. And they don't have to worry about being ticketed out of their cars. We basically penalized and criminalized living out of your car. And for very low income folks, that's the only thing between them and a tent on the sidewalk. So we want to make sure that even the very, very low income folks have some place to be.
All the priorities kind of overlap. They circle back to one another. Is safe parking something you would be kind of looking to bring to Lemon Grove? I know they're starting to pop up around East County.
Yeah, I would love to see that in our community. I used to work at the corner of Euclid Avenue and Imperial, and just down the street, you know, like a Valencian Imperial, there was a Dreams for Change safe parking site there. And it was great. It used to be a used car lot that I sued frequently, a place of hope for people and a place where they could call home and be able to live free of harassment was really a beautiful thing to see. So hopefully we can see something like that in our community.
And just spaces that are not used all the time or not used at all. Yeah. Repurpose them. I believe you've received some endorsements. If you wanted to speak on any that you're most proud of, would love to hear that.
Yeah. So I received the endorsement of our local Spring Valley Lemon Grove Democratic Club. I received the endorsement of the San Diego County Democrats, Fiona Ma, the California State Treasurer, Barbara Bree, who's been a lot of politics, but is mostly recently seeking office for the county recorder, assessor, and city clerk office, Colin Parent, and then a lot of the current sitting council members have endorsed me as well. So, and the school board members as well.
Is this your first time running for a local office?
Yeah, this is my first time running for office.
Wow. Yeah. Have you gone to city council meetings in Lemon Grove for a while, the past few years?
Yeah, I've been to the city council meetings. Lately, they've been getting more and more eventful and stuff. It's good. You'll see people out there advocating for what they believe in. I think there's a lot of work we can do to get more people involved in that process. A lot of people who have specific issues, but I don't think we're hearing it at large sometimes. So I'd like to extend efforts to reach and hear from a broader swath of our community at those meetings. And part of that could be through Zoom. I also think we have a very large Latino population and we need some translation services, making sure that we get those available in Spanish as well, and that we have closed caption, like when we're doing these things, so that people who are hearing impaired will be able to participate in the process as well. But opening up those different avenues, I think, will enable more people to have a voice. And I think the better informed a city council is with the actual needs and desires of its community, the better and do what they can to serve that community in the best way possible. But us, like city council members, just guessing at what the needs are is not the best way to serve our people and our community.
For sure. And those steps towards transparency and how the meetings are recorded and communicated to the public. Yeah. More people will come. Definitely makes the press's job easier. So we would be a fan. But yeah, I guess just relating to the council, if you were elected this season, do you feel confident you could be collaborating effectively with anyone who might be also elected to make those ends possible of reaching the public?
Yeah, one of my skill sets is being able to bring people that have disparate beliefs, ideologies, places where they're coming from, bringing them together, helping identify common interests and goals, and really helping people put aside the things that are distracting and get the real work done. So I have some examples of that. We worked with a lender during the pandemic. It was opportune. It's a payday lender. And they were heavily filing small claims in the San Diego. We had hundreds and hundreds being filed just in San Diego County. And so I brought this to the attention of a lot of nonprofit organizations, and it turned out they were seeing where Opportune was. And so we opened up communications with Opportune, and I was able to meet personally one-on-one with the Opportune president and CEO and explain to him like what was wrong, why the debt collection method he was employing with his company was hurting the very community that he was part of. And so he agreed to dismiss 500 cases during the pandemic with prejudice, which means these people will never have to pay that debt back. It's not going to stay on their records. It's not going to show up on their credit reports. And that was something that just bringing people together and having discussions, we were able to get something done without heavy litigation and without having to go to the extremes. Another example is there was a predatory lending product called PACE. It's Property Assessed Clean Energy Loans. In our community, it was known as the HERO program, or Renew Financial has one, and PACE Funding has one, and Y-Green has one. And so one of them is called California First, but the other ones go by the names of the companies that are like the loan administrators. And so I had to bring together a bunch of people to try and get legislation in place, to try and bring together mortgage companies, real estate agents, homeowners, legislators, and regulatory agencies, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, the Contractor State License Board, the Public Utilities Commission. We got all these folks into the same room. And we actually held stakeholder meetings led by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. And we were able to start communicating with each other to try and get things done for homeowners who had been defrauded by bad actors in this area, in this lending area. And so we were very successful in that. And we were able to get an ability to pay the loan requirement in. And that curbed a lot of the fraud. But we were able to bring all these different groups together. People are going to have different ideas. I get along really well with all of the people on the committee or on the city council. I've had discussions and talked with each of them. And so that's one of the things and goals I have is I had a gentleman stop me in the street and he's like, stop the bickering. that's what he wanted me to do. Those were my marching orders. And so I hear him. It's time to stop the bickering and get this work of the city done.
Yeah, bringing everyone under the same roof and to unite is it's a difficult task, but definitely, yeah, it seems that's your track record a bit. One of the big bickering things I know recently, I was kind of catching up on a very, very lively Facebook discussion about where's the fraud? Do we need an audit, a forensic audit versus not a forensic audit? There's a lot of talk going around. But yeah, just like if you want to weigh in on that, I want to give you a chance. Because it is kind of, yeah, it's this example of this hot button thing that people are feeling very polarized about, but maybe there's something in the middle to be found.
Right. So the issue of a forensic audit is basically when there a forensic audit comes about, when there's an issue of a particular issue of fraud or a misrepresentation or embezzlement or something bad's happened, some illegal act has happened, and you need to dig more into that act. And so you'll hire somebody to come in and look for issues related to that particular illegal act. I think part of the reason why people are so polarized is they don't understand what an audit is, what a regular audit is, the fact that it likes to conduct its annual audit, which is a best practice. There are some cities that don't hire an outside source to do that. They hire another company to come in that's not affiliated with the city to come in and review everything. They've gotten clean audits there, but you're in, and if it's not caught there. If there's like some other outstanding issue, then that's when you would like go the length to do a forensic audit. You don't do wholesale forensic audits of like an entire city of entire their records, because number one, you don't know what the purpose of it is. Like, it's not a fishing expedition. If you're going on a fishing expedition, it's a really very expensive one. And so that's why people are saying, where's the fraud? Is because that's what a forensic audit is for. It's supposed to investigate the fraud. So I think a lot of the polarization comes just from a misunderstanding of what the purpose of a forensic audit is. And once you understand what a forensic audit is for, and then once you dig down and see, you know, are there specific instances of fraud or embezzlement or something really bad like that going on that we need to investigate? I would be in favor of a forensic audit into that. I don't, you know, none of the people on this current city council I've talked to have any interest in not investigating where there is that potentially, where there's examples and evidence of fraud or embezzlement.
Yeah.
But just a forensic audit to feel better about the city, that's not what it's for.
Right. Speaking of money, back to the sales tax. How would you approach that differently to get that passed? And I mean, maybe this is related to audit. People want to know that the money they're putting into the city is going to the right place. And how might that impact a sales tax discussion in the coming months or years?
Yeah, so one way for the city obviously to increase its revenues is to increase the amount that we charge for sales tax. It makes sense. A lot of the neighboring areas have raised their sales tax. We have a lot of deferred maintenance. We have a lot of city streets that need repair. I mean, before we can even get and think about sidewalks, we have to get these roads repaired. And so sales tax is a source of revenue to get that done. While we're waiting for that to happen, because it didn't pass before. So while we're waiting for that to happen, we need to maximize and let the community at large know that it costs more to buy your car in National City. It costs more to buy one. We are at least 1% cheaper than buying your house. And, you know, some of these cars are $100,000. 1% of $100,000 adds up. And so like largest sources of revenue, sales tax revenue, are the two big car dealerships in town. And so let's bring more business to them. Let's, you know, work the city where we're short on sales tax. Like, let's make the world know about it. And then I think if we do push to get a sales tax, like a 1% or whatever it is that we actually need. And we should examine how much we would need to in order to realize our goals, how much we're going to raise it, because we don't want to raise it a 0.5% and it's not enough, and then keep coming back to the community for more. Like, nobody's going to like that. So we need to have research and be able to explain clearly why we need the increase in sales tax. We need to be able to communicate that effectively to everyone so that they understand. Then we need to show what we've done with the money so far. The community needs to trust that the people who are the fiduciaries of this money and are putting the money where we need the money to be placed, and that it's being used in the way it should be used. And I think by increasing the communication and showing and building trust with the community at large, then I think the city would be ready for a sales tax. But the last time they put it up on the ballot, it didn't make it. And I think a lot of that was people didn't understand what the money was going to be for. They didn't understand what the current money was being used for. And all they know is that they have potholes that are not getting fixed, and they don't want to give the city more money until they know exactly where that money's going.
Yeah, it's a catch-22 in some way. Yeah. I feel like it could be successful, especially with the right outreach and communication campaign surrounding it. Yeah. I also wanted to hear from you your vision for the final say the city council tends to have on like zoning and development and a lot of times commercial projects as they come up through the planning commission and get decided on. And sometimes those appeals can be some of the most hot button issues.
Yeah, I think that the city council has an extremely important role as a gatekeeper for what's coming into our community. Not just a gatekeeper, but also inviting people to come to the gate and inviting good things to come to our cities. So I want to be out there and seeking out people who are willing to do development projects in our communities that promote affordable housing. We're way below our goals and where we need to be. And I think we need to build more density right where the trolley stations are and where there's easy access on and off the freeways. That's where it's very industrial. It's not going to disturb single family member homes. We'll still have the flavor of our community, but at the same time, like building where it's accessible to downtown, where a lot of the jobs are. A lot of the people here don't work in Lemon Grove. They live in Lemon Grove, but they work in downtown, or they work in North County, or they work in Chula Vista. And so all of us are doing pretty hefty commutes to get to where we go for work. And so making it easy for people to get to and from work without needing a car would be fantastic. I also think that most development projects that are being proposed need to have an affordable housing component. I think that they need to be able to dedicate some portion of what they're building to make sure that it's affordable. I also think that 5 years or 15 years isn't enough time to keep the deed on these to stay affordable. I'm looking for things that are at least 50 years, that it stays affordable housing and that they can't do anything with it that's non-affordable and sell it at fair market rates until the expiration of those 50 or 55 years. The businesses that we bring into town, I want them to reflect I want them to bring in money, right? I want us to be thoughtful while we're bringing the businesses in. Like, we have a lot of kids here, and we have a lot of activities. But right now we use Spring Valley soccer fields, for example. I'd love to have a soccer field here where I didn't have to commute as far. And we've got the numbers of kids to be able to do that. I think we need to put more time and money into developing our Lemon Grove Little League fields. We need to get lights out there for them so that they can play later into the evenings. We need to have, it can look nicer, better grass. The community has been, I love this community. When they have a cleanup day at the Little League fields, everybody shows up. There's literally hundreds of people out there cleaning. I've lived in other communities and you don't get that kind of support. So it's great to see the kind of volunteerism that's here. And I'd like to see more of that private-public partnership. So I want businesses that are coming here and the city council to see each other as partners and try and achieve good things for our community together. And I think, even bringing in the customers, the consumers into that as well, and that we're all talking, having discussions, working together for and business area.
I think there was a lag there at the end, but I caught it. Great response, for sure. I'm always impressed by the volunteering as well in Lemon Grove. It really stands apart in that regard. Yeah. You're talking about such the rich potential for community life that is already happening and how much further it can go if the right resources are there. And so based on that, I know I have a feeling where you would land on this, but I'm just asking all the candidates that some people have called in the past for Lemon Grove to unincorporate and go back under county control and to not be an unincorporated city anymore, back to how it once were. Would you ever consider the unincorporating of Lemon Grove if the city budget situation took a steep turn, for instance, or if other things came up? Is that anything in your possibility, in the range of possibilities for you, or would you always commit to protecting the cityhood of Lemon Grove?
I am anti-disincorporation. I think that we're a small town surrounded by a big city. I think we have flavor that we need to protect. And I think the more local government is, the more it is answering directly to the community it serves. And so if we get sucked up as an unincorporated part of San Diego County, we won't be able to control what happens in our business district. We won't be able to control what goes in our housing and if they're putting the housing where we want the housing to go, if it's going to affect, the way our neighborhoods are and affect our traffic and everything. So I think in order for us to have the best government possible, I think we have to stay local. And I think we need to do everything in our power to fight to stay local. I think that even if we disincorporated, we still have a lot of the same financial obligations. We're still going to be like the city's pension benefits. Like, we're still going to end up paying those one way or the other. It's not like those are going to go away, and we'll still be paying them through our property taxes. So I think that there's a lot of disadvantages and very little to gain by disincorporation. I think it's a bad move for our community.
I hear you. And yeah, that's a great point. The financial situation would be, it wouldn't be like, oh, problem solved, you know. But I have one last more lighthearted question, if you want to end with that, is just, what's something about Lemon Grove, one aspect of a place or a business or an event that you wish more people knew about?
So one thing I wish people knew about Lemon Grove is the feeling of community here, that you actually know who your neighbors are. You can go out and you can talk to them. They're normal. It's so great. Like, you can just be able to walk down the street and take your dog and enjoy chatting with whoever's out in the front yard. There's just some really cool, eclectic people here that have interesting stories. And so I just really love the people in our community. I love the Lemon Grove Little League field. They should check out the cheese fries. They're freaking awesome. And I think we've got some pretty tasty restaurants in town. We got Lido's and Panda Restaurant and Lemon Grove Thai and Tanapa and just a bunch of Impasta and Giardino's, like some really great local places that aren't fast food, that are family owned businesses. I'm like, I love that about here. And so I just really enjoy the community.
Beautiful. Anything else about anything you want to add?
I would say, as far as the housing goes, one other thing that I would want to mention is that I'm really for the accessory dwelling units and trying to make and promote those. That is one great way that families, especially seniors, are able to age in place. It's difficult any other way because most seniors are on fixed incomes to be able to see an increase in your income. So by building accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units on your property, you allow them a source of income that will allow them to age in place and stay there and live out their happy years there instead of in a nursing home. And then also you're creating more housing. So it's a win-win. So that's one of the things I really want to promote is making the process for building ADUs as seamless as possible, working with city staff, getting city staff the resources they need to be able to do their jobs well and create an environment for city staff where they feel appreciated and supported.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for joining us today
with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Elijah McKee with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Five candidates are running for two seats on the Lemon Grove City Council this year. Councilmember Jennifer Mendoza is running for re-election, and there is also an open seat due to the retirement of longtime Councilman Jerry Jones. Here at East County Magazine, we're interviewing all five candidates to learn more about them. Today, our special guest is Jessica Heredia, a longtime business owner in Lemon Grove and a leader in several local committees and volunteer clubs.
Just to start off, I'd love to get caught up to speed. Take me back a few months ago or however long ago when you first decided you wanted to run and what's initially drawing you into the race.
Okay, basically after COVID, like after the last lockdown, I kind of wanted an outlet on how to get out of the house a little bit and find a way to get back to my community. I saw on the internet a group of people basically getting together to, you know, pick up trash and do volunteer work in the streets. And I thought, well, that sounds safe. It's outside and we're just doing good stuff. So I went ahead and showed up one day, and then I just started meeting, started going more often and meeting more people in the community. And I could see that our city needed the help with that specific task, but I started to see other things that I thought, oh, you know, we could do this better. And I've always kind of been a person with great ideas, and I like to put them out there and see them happen and come to fruition. And so I just decided that I had a lot to offer. So I wanted to put my hand in the race, and I had served on the CAC, which actually gave me a little bit better insight of how the government worked and how the budget was processed and created and how we spend our money. And that sort of reiterated to me that I had some gifts to give. So,
yeah. What is it like to first to get on the CAC and then to serve on that? Like, what's the focus of that group?
They change their focus from time to time, but that specific CAC, Community Advisory Committee, was based off the budget and for 2022-2023's fiscal year.
Okay.
And we were to give a recommendation on the stuff that we have to pay for. What was left, they proposed, a tentative of like $1 million, and how would we, some of the goals that the city had provided as well as the community. And so when I was on the committee, I personally looked at it like there was a really cool situation where the top five of the city were, there were three items that were the same. And so I prioritized those three items because it made sense if both sides want those three as a top five, it must be pretty important. And so that's kind of where we went with our recommendation, was that direction.
Okay, gotcha. And is it an appointment to get on it?
Yes, you apply, and then I was an ad hoc member. So the ad hocs, they didn't have any less responsibility.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't like we were just subbing if somebody wasn't there.
Cool. That sounds like a really cool experience. Is there anything else like from that or any other prior experience of yours that is kind of informing how you approach the campaign for city council?
Well, you know, I'm a self-employed businesswoman and I'm pretty motivated in that line of work. I think because of that experience, I kind of, you know, really started to see parallels within my own, you know, running a business, running a city. They're not the same, but they're not completely separate. Those experiences kind of drove me to like, I know I have good plans. I know I'm, you know, I want to be conservative with the funds that we have because we don't have a lot of funds. And so I tend to like to put my money to good use at my personal lifestyle, you know, with my home and at my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring that experience over into the city budget. And hopefully, you know, when I get to vote on things that are important that we're going to spend money on, that becomes kind of the priority in how I think about it.
Definitely. I can't believe I've never asked you this, but what is your business? I think I can guess by the background of where you're at.
Yes. I own a salon studio. So I've been doing hair for 24 years and I've been self-employed the entire time.
Cool.
And I built, I have about 500 customers, past and present. And wow. Most of them have been with me almost 20 years, if not at the full 24.
That's amazing.
It is. It's all been word of mouth. I, you know, we didn't have the social media that we have today when I started 24 years ago. So it was just a matter of my work ethic and my creativity and my attention to detail that got me here.
Wow. Okay. So looking forward then, let's say you were elected right now and there are three things on your desk. What are those first three things that you are hoping to tackle?
One of the biggest priorities for me is to clean up the downtown business district. I really, as a business owner, I know how important it is to have your outdoor image, you know, kind of draws in your business and reflects you as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And if customers don't feel safe or if it's dirty and it's not kept, they're not going to shop here. I want to bring our neighbors in so that they're stimulating our economy as well. I find that a lot of people in Lemon Grove go to La Mesa to shop. And we want to bring La Mesa to Lemon Grove to shop. So my focus is to clean it up, make it safe, make it appetizing to other people. I'd like to see more restaurants and more businesses that draw people. I like the way that the La Mesa Village is set up. And I think that we have a very similar style of downtown area that we could just, with a little bit of paint, a little bit of love, we can revitalize that. And it's really, it doesn't have to be overthought, honestly. And, you know, it's one of the things that I've done here in Lemon Grove is I put the businesses first from the get-go. And I run the La Mesa or the Lemon Grove Support Local Facebook and Instagram pages. I spotlight businesses and I help them advertise and get their word out so they get new customers. And I'm seeing communities, people from other communities are starting to like that page. So hopefully that will get that traction of getting, you know, our neighboring communities to come spend their tax dollars.
I'm seeing that crossover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know they wanted to raise the sales tax and that didn't pass, unfortunately. So the best next plan we can do is increase sales.
That's a perfect segue. That was my next question. I feel like, yeah, you probably have a unique stance on the sales tax, particularly with the business district. So is it something you hope to support? And is there any strategy you have for doing that?
We definitely can see myself getting behind a tax increase if we had a situation where I feel part of the problem in Lemon Grove with the reason it didn't pass, honestly, was that there wasn't a lot of confidence in the community towards how their money was being spent.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. But I am not opposed to increasing the sales tax if I felt that it would be going to the things that matter to my community. I think that we clean it up first. While we can't do anything about that at this time, our hands are kind of tied. So let's clean it up. Let's make it look good. And then that kind of warrants that a little bit more. People are a little bit more apt to do it. And maybe while the sales tax is low, we start to get La Mesa to come in. And then, you know, once you've started to increase that sales base, you raise the tax and then you're making a lot more revenue for the city.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of showing the good faith first so that
people. Yeah, you do. And I think you got to show trust, confidence.
Yeah. Are there other avenues if like sales tax just it's not in the cards? Are there other funding initiatives that you're kind of tossing around?
I definitely would like to see more grant money kind of sought after so that we could help revitalize that downtown area, because I believe that if we clean it up and we make it look better, not only does it make our neighbors shop here, but it also makes better businesses want to come and set up shop here. And so in that sense, I want to see grant money going to the existing businesses so that they can clean up and get this draw in, you know, and then we can get more of that revenue just automatically by getting bigger stores like Home Depot and Onyx. And some of these bigger stores they're really funding a lot of that sales tax. So we need more of that. You know, we've got a lot of area for that to happen in our downtown. There's a lot of empty area for that. So I think we build that and we encourage that. We invite business instead of, in some ways, business owners have expressed to me, because I'm on the business improvement district, business owners have also sort of said that they have a hard time getting permits or going through the processes. And I know that's not a super uncommon thing in all cities, but I think Lemon Grove would serve their community better by just trying to streamline that a little bit quicker. I think we outsource a lot of our permitting process. And when you start having a lot of people dealing with those kinds of things, it holds it up.
Is that kind of a particular trend that you would see yourself following on with zoning and development? Because we've seen how those things come to council a lot of the times, whether it's an appeal from the planning commission or it's just the final word being given, is in terms of like commercial versus residential development and how the zoning works. Is that kind of where you'll fall?
Yeah, I'll definitely, it's all a case-by-case basis, of course, when it comes to zoning and projects. But, you know, I always like the multi-use, you know, retail at the bottom, living at the top, especially in our business district. I hate to see us tear down businesses to build only apartments that don't give anything consumer-wise back to the community, because people want to shop local. They want to be able to walk out of their house and walk over to the little market and get, you know, some produce or whatever they're looking for.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. But people crave that. So I say, you know, it makes good sense to try to keep in line with that more than getting rid of the businesses to put in housing. I think we can do both. And so case by case, obviously. But yeah, I'd like to see the zoning be consistent, honestly, too, because I feel like sometimes there's like developers sometimes get a little bit more leeway than maybe the mom and pop. And I'd like to see a little bit more maybe coming together, because the mom and pop is really like the backbone of our community. And they are probably, even though the big box stores generate a lot of sales because you're buying more volume generally in those types of stores. Mm-hmm. It's those little pop, mom and pop shops like the Hamlet and stuff like that that really make a community have a culture. Yeah. And I think that's the part we should be kind of developing more.
I wanted to ask also about this very lively discussion going on Facebook the past few weeks, which I think you're aware of, about an audit versus a forensic audit versus fraud, this buzzword of fraud in the city. And I'm just giving everyone the floor to address that if they choose.
Okay. I don't mind. You want me to just tell you how I feel? As far as fraud, I don't know for sure if there's fraud. I'm not in positions of power to have the inside information on anything like that. I understand the community's concerns and why they feel that way. And I believe that in order to sort of rebuild confidence, it's not maybe a bad idea to have a forensic audit just to get this past us. Honestly, I feel like if we could get that done, then in the end of the day, what happens is we can say yes or no, it happened, and move forward, because just arguing about it on the internet isn't getting us anywhere. And I think that would also help with that sales tax initiative if that the people want to go. You know, it's showing that, you know, your money wasn't mishandled. I do think that after being on the CAC, I can see that we've done a lot of projects around town that, you know, this, we spend a lot of money doing a project and we don't always have our project completed at the end. And one case in point is that intersection everybody talks about all the time with the trolley at Lemon Grove Avenue in North. And it's a bummer that, you know, a lot of money was spent on that project and the safety of the residents wasn't 100% provided. I get that people do like it. The flow of it better. I get it. I go through that intersection too, and I love the flow of it for my direction. But when I have to go over the trolley tracks, it is a little bit wrecking. And so it would have been nice to, you know, have the lights, and we spent a lot of money studying that, and to not be able to actually do what we thought we were going to do is a bummer. Another case in point would be the sidewalk that got built over on Golden Avenue. And there's a section of it that is not ADA compliant because the city didn't want to pay the business owner for that land, is my understanding. And so, again, I don't know why we would move forward on a large project like that when we knew we would never have the outcome that would be the best for the community. I think that's wasteful. And I would like to make sure that if I get elected, that I'm mindful of the project and what it's going to do for my community, and is it necessary? And is it going to be completed and done in a manner which actually is better? Sometimes we do things and not necessarily better, and it's not necessarily complete.
Gotcha. And all kind of building up that trust for bigger measures.
It is. And the money, I mean, I, like I'm saying, it's, I don't know of fraud, but I just know of, like, I think we could spend our money better.
And so there could be maybe some specific inquiry and help people who are voicing that concern kind of move past it and start with a new mentality.
Yeah, because what happens is that we start talking about these things, and I think there's so much question, and people never really feel like they're getting truthful answers. So we're not going to build confidence by just ignoring it or acting like, you know, people are making things up. I mean, if people clearly feel that way, I mean, it's always coming back up, that question. So I think it's maybe just get it out of the way and cross that hurdle. Or if you have another way to prove, I know the information's on the internet, but people don't understand those papers a lot of the time. So it's harder to just say, oh, study it and whatever. You know, most people don't have the knowledge of budgets in that capacity. So the audit, the independent audit, I think kind of frees people's doubts. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm not necessarily running on that platform.
Yeah, thanks for the response. That's good to know. I'm curious, I'm asking everyone this question of how they feel confidence-wise about collaborating with whatever combination of people ends up on the council after the election. How do you feel your work style will be applied in that setting?
I'm very open to collaborating. I think that's actually one of the things that I've been trying to do this whole time, is I've been trying to kind of encourage that. I think that's what we're missing. You know, I think the volunteer groups are awesome. And I think the city could do a better job at trying to kind of foster partnerships with those people and those different groups. I know they do with some, but not all. And you're not going to be able to hit all of that. But there's definitely a large presence in some of what's going on in the cleaning up type stuff. And, you know, all the different clubs that are starting with the pickleball and the Open the Rec Center. I think instead of fighting your community, you should be fighting for your community as a city. And if that's what your community wants, then you should be, those are small asks. You know, when you're spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on more government as a government, but you're not giving your community even a small, you know, rec center, even to the small capacity of the pilot. I think the pilot is costing them maybe $30,000 to do for 6 months. And yeah, it's not a great program, but it's better than no program. So, you know, if the community is asking for something, you can't just take and never give back. So we should be fostering better relationships with our community and getting the information out there better. So I'm working with everyone. Actually, on the CAC, I feel that I was a pretty good partner in all of that. I wasn't there to create waves. I was there to get a task done.
Cool. So. Yeah. Seems like people want that, especially when they're serving in office. Yeah. How is the pilot going at the
record? The pilot is going great, actually. We have had one day we had, there was a lot of people one day just in and out. I spent a lot of my day there in the first few weeks. I've been coming every week. And I think we had 40 people there one day. So that's huge. And that's on the inside. So that was a great turnout. Yeah. And I think every week it seems more and more people are showing up and finding new things that are offered there. Like there's air hockey, foosball, pool tables, the indoor gym, of course, and ping pong. Actually, there was a group that came and had them pull the ping pong out. So that was cool.
Cool. That's amazing. I'm glad there's been turnout.
Yeah. We're doing our best to get the word out. And unfortunately, we're the only ones doing that right now at the time, but it's okay. We're just trucking through and I printed out some flyers. We're putting them on businesses and kind of just letting the families and seniors know, because I know they, it's a little mix of what's been showing up. There's families, there's young adults in their 20s, and there's seniors alike. So
that's good. Yeah, it's such a resource for everyone. One last more meaty question is this idea of unincorporating from the as a city and going back under county control, that some people still are asking, calling for that. Not many. I don't hear it too often, but where do you fall on that issue?
I'll be honest with you. I would like to see the city succeed without going unincorporated, to be honest with you. And I'd like to be able to get the chance to help that happen. I think that what happens in city government a lot of time is it's people serve a long time into these committees and these, you know, council positions, and they all become kind of complacent to progress kind of being stalled. Mm. When you get new blood in there, you kind of revitalize maybe the way the money's getting spent instead of it always being kind of, you know, the same entities are coming to get the money. And it's a different approach. I know 24 years ago when I started in business didn't look like it does today. You have to be fresh and innovative. And I think I bring that to the table. And I'd like to get the opportunity to get in there, see what we can do with a new concept and a new timeline and a new mindset. And hopefully we can make it work. And then if we can't, I'm not opposed to unincorporating if that meant that my community would get better services and better parks. And you know, Spring Valley's got a nice rec center and it's open and it offers awesome programs. La Mesa obviously is a city, but they've got a nice rec. I know Spring Valley also got a beautiful park, Ildica Park, that the county provided for them. And these are things that we might essentially be missing out on because we're not managing our money for the community. As I said, we're using our government funds to fund more government.
Sort of that. So it fulfills itself. Yeah. Cool. Thanks for that response. More of a lighthearted one, but what's something about Lemon Grove that you wish more people knew about?
My favorite thing about Lemon Grove is that it is generational living here. There's people that have been here from the 1800s, their family origins, you know, still here. Yeah. And that's something you don't see in a lot of towns. You know, I know La Mesa, I went to Helix and grew up in La Mesa as a child. Mm-hmm. And I always thought of La Mesa as that, but it's nothing near what Lemon Grove has going on in that sense. I mean, one of our, you know, hometown residents has been here, his family's been here forever. They donated the land to Mount Vernon School. And his great-grandparents, I think, is the ones that donated that. And so to me, that's incredible that he's still in the family home. And, you know, what his family, you know, did for the community, and he's still doing it. He does all the graffiti cleanup, and, you know, he's a lion, and he's a good guy. So my favorite thing about Lemon Grove is that these people love Lemon Grove, and they don't leave it, despite what it looks like or how they feel about the city government.
That's awesome. Could also ask you, what are we going to do for recording the meetings if you're elected?
I'm going to find someone to do it for me. That's one good thing. I have made a lot of relationships in Lemon Grove. I've built relationships along the way, and I think people trust me, and I bring integrity to the table. They know I'm a hard worker. They see it. You know, I run a business, and I rush right over to come and record those meetings for everybody. And I know the community is appreciative of it. And I get lots and lots of views. So I know it's something that should be done, could be done. And I believe it will be done as a result of me coming and doing that. I think that the squeakier oil wheel gets the oil, right? So if you come out and you say, hey, this is what we need, and you're persistent, things start to change. So, I mean, that's how we, I think, came to this point where we have the rec center pilot. I think it has a lot to do with that as well. It was, you know, the community coming out and asking over and over, being persistent. So I think I did go to the joint city with the school district meeting recently. So I was able to kind of peek in on what their setup was like. Mm-hmm. And I looked at a public record request, and it was like $15,000, I think she said, they spent on payroll a year, and $10,000 for equipment. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to invest $25,000 into transparency with funds that we've already collected through our taxes from the PEG fund. The money's there. It's sitting there, and it can only be used for things like that. So I'm going to really continue to advocate for that, regardless if I'm elected or not.
We appreciate it as the press, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Glad I could help.
All right. Well, I think those are the main areas I was hoping to cover. But if you have anything regarding any topic or issue that you wanted to add, the floor is yours. If you wanted to shout out any endorsements or talk about anything, feel free.
I'm really excited. This has been a really cool experience, regardless of the outcome. I'm really proud of like my community, because they're really rallying behind me. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the love, and I look forward to serving my community further. I just feel like it's a good time in Lemon Grove, and you can feel it. You can feel the energy, the vibration is changing. The people that have lived there forever are teaming up with the, you know, young generation, and they're all coming together for the great cause together in the middle, which is community, right? And making their community better, making it thrive. So I look forward to joining forces with everyone out there and just making it better, making it the town that we want it to be.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.